This is the Jeff Merrick Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Okay, welcome back to the program. Now, you know, it always seems as if I say to myself, okay, we've done a lot on the Philadelphia Flyers this year. We've done a lot on the Philadelphia Flyers lately. Don't keep going back to that well. But then when you have a game like that last night, like, how do you not go back to the well that is the Philadelphia Flyers? Big win last night for the Montreal Canadiens. Big game for Yuri Slafkovsky. Congratulations. His first career NHL hat trick. And the Habs just pound the Philadelphia Flyers yesterday, 9-3. Just a vicious, vicious game last night for the Philadelphia Flyers. Are they tired? Have they quit? What's going on? What are we seeing here? There was a lot last night. Washington Capitals grabbing a playoff spot. 2-1. Wings are hot about non-calls. I get it. Hurricanes send a message against the Boston Bruins. 4-1 is the final score there. And Andrei Svechnikov in the process scores the Michigan goal, again. Or as we like to call it cynically around here, he scored a high wraparound. I don't know why people get upset when I mention that. Where I don't really embrace the full, oh, wow, isn't this incredibleness of the Michigan. It's kind of like going between your legs now on a goal. Everybody can do it. Everybody does it. Might not want to be that impressed anymore. Everybody does it. Everyone can do it. Maple Leafs over the New Jersey Devils 5-2. In the process, Auston Matthews scores goal number 66. And then, with the net empty, doesn't see the ice for 67. The ironic Maple Leafs number. No one jumps off to let Matthews on at the end with an empty net, and Tyler Bertuzzi finds the back of the net instead. 4-2, the Islanders over the Rangers. Hot spot in this one, and we'll play the Peter Laviolette clip here. I want to sort of tee this one up. Peter Laviolette was hot at had an injury to Mika Zibanejad yesterday after he ran into Adam Pellick's shoulder. Pellick, who wasn't looking anywhere near Zibanejad, and unless he has either eyes in the side or back of his head, would not know that he was even coming. But that didn't stop Peter Laviolette from unloading on Adam Pellick and his evil shoulder. Here's Peter Laviolette.
Just to start, have you heard anything about Mika's status? Just how he's doing?
He came back at the end from that vicious hit, yeah. He came back. That vicious shoulder elbow to the head. Watch it.
So you think it was intentional that it wasn't a collision?
I do.
What about the Dobbs number?
Vicious from behind. Both.
Vicious shoulder elbow to the head. Not so sure I saw it that way. I don't suspect that you saw it if you watched the game or have seen the highlights, saw it that way either. Nonetheless, that's one of the stories coming out of the Islanders-Rangers. We'll do more on that one coming up here in a little while. Steven Stamkos with a hat trick and an assist. Kucherov with three assists. This is a recording. The Tampa Bay Lightning 5-2 over the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Buffalo Sabres now are officially eliminated from playoff contention. They drop a 3-2 decision to the Dallas Stars. A really thrilling game at Bridgestone yesterday in Nashville as the Preds drop one to the Winnipeg Jets. In the process, they get this one to overtime. And so they pick up the point, and officially the Nashville Predators punch their ticket to the postseason. Andrew Burnett will join me a little bit later on in the program. Of course, head coach of the Nashville Predators and candidate for the Jack Adams as the coach of the year. And the Colorado Avalanche take care of the Minnesota Wild, or should I say Nathan MacKinnon, who was a one-man wrecking ball, hat trick, and an assist. Cale Makar with three assists in this one. Jonathan Drouin with three assists in this one. 5-2 is the final score there. It was the Ducks over the Kings, 3-1. It was the Kraken, 5-0 over the Arizona Coyotes, which, to be kind, wasn't the easiest game on the eyes if you watched this one. And the Calgary Flames beat the San Jose Sharks by a final score of 3-2. So those were some of the games from last night. There's a lot of issues coming out of a lot of them, either playoff implications or seasons ending, or, you know, races for the President's Trophy, for division titles, etc. And we do have a lot of off-ice issues as well to deal with, namely Arizona. And Frank Cervelli on Daily Faceoff today reporting that the NHL is putting together two different schedules, one that accounts for the Arizona Coyotes playing in Arizona, and another schedule for if the Arizona Coyotes are relocated to Salt Lake City. With that, we'll bring in, live from Vancouver, our man Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night in Canada and 32 Thoughts. Hello, Friege.
Good morning, Jeff. Good morning.
So the report today on Daily Faceoff about the two schedules, I mean, we've been talking a lot about contingency plans and what the NHL needs to do. I'm guessing none of this would be surprising. This is the sort of natural course of business. I would imagine that, you know, before the Atlanta Thrashers moved to Winnipeg, there was the thought process of having two schedules, one for a team in Georgia, one for a team in Manitoba. But your thoughts on the report today?
Well, I think that I don't really dispute any of it. I think it's all, I can't say 100% that it's all airtight, but it fits exactly with what I've been hearing and we've been hearing. I think he's got a lot of accuracy there. And, you know, like we said yesterday, the NHL is preparing for the future of the Arizona Coyotes short term and the long term future of hockey in Arizona. And so, basically, we know there's the auction on June 27th, but the Coyotes are on record as saying if they win the auction, they probably won't be ready to play in the new arena until fall of 2027. And I think one of the big questions here is, can this stay the way it is for three more years? And, and I think to a lot of people, the answer is, I'm not sure they're really thrilled about that idea, even if they do win the auction. So, yes, Jeff, I do think one of the things they've been talking about is, do we move the team? And then do we make it so as part of the sale, Alex Morillo has, quote unquote, whatever you want to call it, the right of first refusal pending approval by the NHL board, some language like that, to be the next owner of the next Arizona franchise whenever it comes. I absolutely believe that is on the table, and I think that's one of the things they've discussed. And I think the reason why, and look, if it's Utah, I think we're going to know soon. And I think that by the fact that this came out today, it might even be sooner than people thought. I don't think this is something where, for one of the things here, like the, Utah shares its building with the NBA. Like, you'd have to know, too, like, what your dates are, what your availability is, things like that. And I don't think it's necessarily a rush, but you've got to do all this stuff. And so I do think this is on the table. I do think that this is something they've been discussing. I think one of the reasons you're seeing the NHL kind of, I don't know if slow play it or downplay it a bit is, and this is the one thing that we have talked about a lot is that Morillo is a bit of a wild card. He's got a lot of pride, and they know that they want, the smoothest way to get this done is to get him agree so that there's no legal hang up or anything like that. And through this whole process, Jeff, they've tried to be really careful with them to make it, and they know nothing is done until it's done. So I think the reason you're seeing the NHL not really comment on it or just maybe downplay it a bit is that they know they've got to get Morillo to agree, and they don't want to do anything that's going to upset the whole process. But like I said, I think this is very real. And I think it's what they've been working on for a little bit of time. And, you know, the other thing I should say, Jeff, it's kind of been hot and cold and hot and cold. Like, it was really hot a few weeks ago, and then it cooled down, and then it got hot again.
Well, it's hot now as the season winds down and the playoffs are going to begin and there will be no Arizona Coyotes involved in it. And I know we've gone back and forth on this one before, and I know I've asked you about this one, but this is one of the dynamics that I still continue to be curious about. The BOG, now the Board of Governors, I'm sure, just want this issue to be dealt with and moved past and period. Let's get through it all. Do you get a sense, and again, we're talking about 32 different owners here, but do you get a sense of where they're at with all of this? Like, I understand the idea of Gary Bettman wanting to make sure that Alex Borrello has his hand held here and he doesn't get upset and, you know, there's no landmines and there's no, you know, big moments where he'll have a horrible reaction. I get that. What I am curious about, though, is... And again, you're never going to get 32 all on the same page, but here we go. How does the BOG feel about all of this?
I just don't think the owners, like, I just don't think they want this to continue for three more years. I think that's what it is. Mm-hmm. I think that's exactly what the situation is. I think that's what it comes down to. People have been very patient here with Arizona, and Bettman has fought for Arizona really hard.
Yeah.
I think people recognize that there is a good market there, and it's a market you want to be in. That's why I think this is all part of the plan to leave. Like, again, we've been saying for a long time, it's going to be leave and go back if it happens. And that's why I believe this is all part of the process. But I think you just look at the current situation and say it can't continue. It's untenable. And I think that's the way they felt for some time. And I think now Bettman kind of agrees with it.
Okay. This story continues. Before
now,
we get to what
thing,
we saw
the other
last
thing I did,
night,
well, I did want to mention, oh. The other thing I did want to mention here, Jeff, is it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the players in the sense that I believe there are some players who have asked what their rights are in this situation. How many of them, are there any of them that would say, look, I signed with Arizona, and if it's not in Arizona, what can I do about it? And I think the answer is not much. I mean, so in terms of, like, you can't not go. If you're signed to a contract, your contract transfers with the sale. But it'll be interesting to see if any players say, like, you know, I'd rather be traded or anything like that. I do think they're also, you know, that kind of has been discussed as well.
And I do wonder about a lot of, I'll be honest, I wonder about a lot of longtime employees of the Arizona/Phoenix Coyotes here as well.
Yeah,
like,
I do
too.
This
does march to this inevitability. You know, I mean, there's some deep roots and families that have been established, and they're just, like, bluntly, Elliot, just a lot of people that aren't in a position to leave, that aren't in a position to go. Like, listen, you know, management, coaching staff, players, et cetera, like, they're used to this. But there are a lot of people that have put down roots in Arizona, in Phoenix, in Scottsdale, wherever, that are just not in a position to leave right now. And I would imagine a lot of these people are worried about what the future may bring here. A couple of other things before we get to last night. Joel Quenneville was on the Cam and Strick podcast. Now, you know, he was addressed the Chicago situation and, you know, said things like, you know, if I could do it again, I would have done things differently, etc. And, you know, I kind of look at that, not to relitigate 2010, but maybe I'm oversimplifying it here, but when your boss says he's handling something, generally you assume that your boss is handling something. But just the very fact that Joel Quenneville is out there making media appearances, and I'll take this back to Salt Lake and Ryan Smith. When you and I mean, it kind of caught us, I think, a little bit by surprise that Ryan Smith made himself available, was talking about how much he wanted to bring a hockey team to Utah. You know, it's not done without the blessing of the NHL. Do you look at Quenneville now doing media similarly? That this is, okay, the thaw between Quenneville and the NHL, maybe the beginning, the on-ramp to him being behind an NHL bench, maybe as soon as next season. How do you look at the Quenneville situation right now?
Well, first of all, he has to be reinstated. You know, I thought Andy, I listened to the interview last night. I thought Andy did a good job with the interview. He asked a lot of the, I think all the right questions. He still has to be reinstated. You know, the one thing I'm really uncomfortable commenting about all of this is that, you know, he said he's talked to Kyle Beach. He wouldn't say what their conversations were about, which is probably the right thing. I think, you know, obviously, I'm not comfortable really addressing a lot of all this stuff until, you know, we know how Beach feels. You know, I don't think that Glanville is the only member of the Chicago organization that has reached out in the aftermath of that group of people who were there. I believe he's talked to other people, and it's just hard for me to say one way or the other without really knowing how Beach feels. Like, is Beach satisfied with what he was with these conversations, or is he not? So I'm not really comfortable like addressing the overall future without knowing that. You know, I do know this. I know that Glanville and Stan Bowman, when they met with the coaches and GMs at the beginning of this season in Chicago, one of the things they talked about was exactly what Glanville mentioned in that interview, which is it's no longer enough to say, oh, okay, I've heard something or I've been told that someone will handle this and I don't have to worry about it anymore. Glanville has talked about that message. And the league has talked about that message. And I know that message really resonated with the coaches and managers who were there. I am a person who believes that people have earned the right to show they've learned their lessons and be in a situation where they could, you know, come back. I don't have an overall issue with that. I just am not comfortable really commenting on this until I know how Beach feels. Because part of the story is that people have reached out to him to make their peace with him, and I just don't want to assume anything about how he feels. I just think it would be the wrong thing to do.
Okay. Let's get to what we saw last night and some of the issues coming out of it. And every time I say we can't keep talking about the Philadelphia Flyers, we see a game like that. 9-3 is the final score. On the positive side of things in that game, Yuri Slafkovsky, congratulations. His first career NHL hat trick. He's looked fantastic and has really found a home playing with, well, Nick Suzuki specifically. That's a really nice battery there. Listen, it was another tough night for the Philadelphia Flyers. John Tortorella has already mentioned that, you know, Sammy Ersin is exhausted. Sometimes I look at that team and I say the entire team is exhausted. And, you know, I've had a couple of people say to me that the troubles really got bad, or they knew it was bad when Sean Couturier got scratched. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, I think we can look at that anecdotally and say, well, that would make some sense. I think the players understand what Sean Couturier went through to try to get back into the lineup, and then to see him, you know, treated like that was tough for a lot of players to handle or to accept. Where are we at now with the Philadelphia Flyers? Because, you know, Elliot, it's not as if they're just, you know, losing, you know, 4-3 in overtime to the Islanders and getting doubled up 4-2 by the Buffalo Sabres. They're getting smacked around by the Columbus Blue Jackets 6-2 on Saturday and then pounded 9-3 by the Montreal Canadiens. There are still games against, you know, the Rangers, the Devils, and the Capitals still to come. But, I mean, this is one of the more epic collapses down the stretch that we've seen in recent history.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's one thing to lose. It's okay to lose. It's just not okay to lose like that. It's hard not to look at it. I think there's two ways to look at this, and I think they're both kind of tied in. Number one is that nobody thought Philly was going to be here, and especially in goal, what's happened this year has caught up to them. That is definitely true. And, you know, like they've basically run out of gas, and they're on fumes, and they can't hang on. But it's hard not to look at it and just wonder, like, if you watch Tortorella after the last night's game, he's not blowing up. He's being encouraging. He's trying to be positive. It's hard not to look at this and say, hey, there are ways, like, they've gone to him and they've said to him, we can't have this anymore. Now, I think that I really do believe that the Flyers plan on having Tortorella come back as coach next year. And that has always been their plan. And I've asked Keith Jones, and he said that's their plan. He's credited, this was a couple of weeks ago, and he's credited Tortorella with having a big part in the fact that they were even here this far along. But I think now it's kind of obvious that you can't come back with the same mix. And I wonder if the Flyers are looking at this and they're saying, hey, there are people, there are players here we can count on, and there are players here we can't count on. And I'm really curious to see what the players are going to say in their exit meetings. Does that change Philly's mind at all? But it's impossible not to look at both these things as being true. Number one, that they simply hit the wall because they weren't good enough. And number two, just a lot of the noise has affected the group. So what do you do about it?
Couple more things. Two teams officially eliminated yesterday, the Buffalo Sabres and the New Jersey Devils. We've talked a lot about the New Jersey Devils and injuries. And, you know, Jack Hughes is out for the remainder of the season with shoulder surgery. He's had an injury plague season. The Dougie Hamilton situation was one we talked a lot about. The goaltending hasn't helped them out. I think you mentioned, you know, if they had to do it all over again, Tom Fitzgerald probably would have made the goalie move earlier in the season. So New Jersey is out. And I think we can point to a lot of obvious reasons. But when it comes to the Buffalo Sabres, who lost last night to the Dallas Stars, so now they're officially out, I don't know that the reasons are as obvious as New Jersey's. When you look at Buffalo's season, what comes to mind for you?
Well, I think you have to be disappointed. Really disappointed. Like it's same as Ottawa. There was so much promise at the beginning of the year, and it just never went anywhere. Like it was disappointing. And I don't even know what to say, to be honest, because for their fans, like they've seen this movie before, and you want to tell them you've got good young players. Like, you look at the roster and you say, boy, these are good young players. But you've heard that before. And, we'll see what changes they make, but you've seen them make changes before. Like, I really think, like, I'm a bet on talent guy, Jeff. I really am. I believe you bet on, and they have talent. But they've been told that before. Like, it's really tough. The only thing you can really do is say, just believe that Dahlin and Thompson and Power and Luukkonen and Levi and all these guys, they're going to figure it out. But you've heard all that before. So there really is nothing else you can do except try to find the right, make sure you have the right coaching, make sure you have the right plan, make sure you find good players to go with them. But you've heard it all before. It's really tough for me to say anything that's going to make the fans of Buffalo feel good, aside from the fact that you just have to believe this group of players is going to figure it out because they're too good not to.
Tonight, couple of intriguing games here. The big marquee matchup, the Vegas Golden Knights face off against the Edmonton Oilers. So it's Jack Eichel versus maybe Connor McDavid with the lower body injury right now. This is an intriguing one here. How do you look at Vegas and Edmonton? And with Edmonton specifically, last podcast we talked about Evander Kane, and you made the point that it's the players that are taking charge and making sure they get that Evander Kane that everybody knows he can be, power forward, great shot, scores goals, goes to the net hard, all those things. How do you see the Oilers right now in advance of this matchup tonight on Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey with the Vegas Golden Knights?
Well, it looks like Aiden Hill was in the starter's net this morning. So it sounds like he's coming back for Vegas. We'll see. I am curious to see if McDavid plays tonight. If I was them, I'm sure he wants to play, but if I was them, I would be very, very careful. I think Vegas likes playing Edmonton. I do. I think they like the matchup. I think they like the challenge. I think they feel that, and I mean, there's players missing. Obviously, Stone's there, not there. Petrangelo's not there. You know, we'll see if McDavid's there tonight. But I think Vegas likes the matchup. I don't think they're afraid of it. And look, they're coming off a really tough loss the other night, and they're going to be wired to play this game. And, you know, I think the other thing, too, is, like, as we've seen before, it's like the Crosby-Malkin thing. When one's gone, the other is really good.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is a night for Draisaitl and others to show, to shine if McDavid doesn't play. I like everything about this game.
I can't wait for this one. Last night, a couple of more things as we wrap up here. Maple Leafs over the New Jersey Devils 5-2. In the process, Austin Matthews scores goal number 66 for the season. And then with an empty net, Austin Matthews doesn't get on the ice. Tyler Bertuzzi scores, but nobody jumps over the boards to get number 34 on the ice as he looks now for the Maple Leaf number of 67 goals on the season. Do you have a thought on Matthews not seeing the ice when he's chasing 70 goals? Does that matter? Does that resonate? Is that a thing, or is that just something for people to talk about around the water cooler?
I was curious about that. I was like, I don't know. Like, I wonder, like, you know, I think people love their cookies, right? And for a long time, like, the one thing I look at with Bertuzzi is they need Bertuzzi feeling really well, really good right before the playoffs. The start of the year was a nightmare for him. He's been ramping it up. I wonder if Keith looks at that and says, I need some of these guys feeling good about themselves. And, you know, so I thought about that. You know, I also think about the whole thing about you've got to make a bigger identity than just the core four. And, you know, I want to see Matthews get 70. From a purely entertainment point of view, I wanted him out there last night to score that goal. And when I didn't see him, I was initially like, whoa, that's weird. But the more I thought about it, the more I saw who was out there, I was wondering if Keith was like, I know Austin feels good, but I want some other guys to feel good.
You know, speaking of goal scoring, Ovechkin found the back of the net yesterday, so now sets the record 18 seasons scoring 30 goals. Mike Gartner, your record is now fallen of 17 seasons. Ovechkin with now 18. The Capitals beat the Detroit Red Wings 2-1. Listen, I understand the gripes about what happened to Andrew Kopp and the broken jaw with the stick from Nicholas Obey-Kubel. I get it. Missed call. There was a missed call in the Rangers-Islanders game as well. With the hit from behind on Vincent Trocheck and the Noah Dobson situation there. But how do you see, I mean, listen, Washington's got WC2 for now. We know this has been a flip-flop. A thought on the Caps winning a crucial game yesterday and your thoughts on Ovechkin, 18 seasons with 30 goals a year.
Well, first, I think, you know who should get some MVP votes is Charlie Lindgren. I don't know if he's going to get any, but
great.
He should.
He's been great.
You know, he should. You know what? He should get MVP votes. He's obviously not going to win or anything like that. But like, look, their goal differential is now minus 40, Jeff, and they're in a playoff spot.
Yeah, man,
it's ridiculous.
Awesome. I love it.
I know you do. It's crazy, and he's been a great he beat them last night. What were the shots like? 43-22 or something like that. Like, he goalied them.
The
he
shots
absolutely did.
43-23. Yeah.
So he goalied them, and he's got them there. And, I mean, you know, I have to say, earlier this year, I really wondered, was Ovechkin going to catch Gretzky? And now he's back on the path. So it was a nice video from Gartner last night. It was very well done. Very good message.
Really Really classy and no surprise at all. Okay, listen, enjoy the rest of your day. Oh, really quickly, the telethon and the game tonight against the Arizona Coyotes. Can't let you go without talking about the telethon quickly.
Well, good time for Arizona to come to Vancouver, eh? I'm sure they're really looking forward to this. At least there's no morning skate because they played last night in Seattle. You know, obviously, I'm co-hosting tonight with Randeep, and it's a great event. The fans here, the Canucks Nation, they're very generous. You know, you get excited for nights like this because you can do a lot of good, and the team is good, and they're coming off a big win. And you always think that the fans here, as what I said, are very generous. They're going to be even more generous in a good season. So I'm looking forward to tonight. As I said, the only thing that's important is that I'm never lower than anything ever done by a Scott Oak telethon.
I know that's very special to you. I know you take a lot of pride in that. Enjoy your afternoon, the rest of your morning, and enjoy the game tonight and the telethon. Thanks as always, Preach. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. Take care.